Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 70 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
Well, the next step is to go out, you know, recruit developers who would have the capacity to develop a downtown hotel. And that is the next step, and we're pursuing that.
Tony Pence, head of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, is looking forward to development in the city's downtown area. The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is warning farmers about a scam, and Moorhead is getting a new fire truck. In sports, it's OVC action tonight in Alabama for the Moorhead State Eagles. Bud Luke has the stock report. The region is under a tornado warning until 8 o'clock tonight. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. Police are searching for answers after a Lexington duplex was hit by gunfire this morning. According to WKYT, it happened shortly after 2 a.m. at a duplex on North Upper Street, just a few blocks from the campus of Transylvania University. Police say four people were inside the top unit and one person was in the bottom unit when the shots were fired. No one was injured, but investigators say both units were hit by bullets. Investigators are still trying to figure out what led to the shots being fired. So far, no suspects have been identified. However, police say multiple shooters may be involved. Scammers posing as social workers are targeting Eastern Kentuckians. MSPR's Sean Delaney has the details.
According to WYMT, police began receiving complaints regarding people impersonating social workers over the phone around mid-April. Officials with Kentucky State Police say scammers are attempting to bait people into releasing personal or financial information. If you receive a call from someone claiming to be from a government agency, KSP suggests that you ask for proper credentials or contact the appropriate agency to verify the caller's identity. Anyone with information about the scam is asked to call 606-878-6622. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
The Kentucky Department of Agriculture is warning area farmers to stay alert for possible scams targeting hay buyers and sellers. The KDA has received several reports of fraudulent hay transactions in the recent weeks. Ag Commissioner Ryan Quarles is urging farmers to use caution when buying or selling hay or livestock, especially when they are being contacted through email, social media, or text message. Other red flags to be on the lookout for include when a buyer refuses to talk on the phone, is vague about transportation arrangements, and if they offer to send checks in excess of the negotiated price and ask for cash in return. Farmers are also encouraged to use the KDA's $10 hay testing service, which analyzes the hay's nutritional value. Farmers can also use the KDA's hay hotline, which connects buyers and sellers. Hundreds of people, including police officers from across the state, gathered in Eastern Kentucky Tuesday to remember the officers lost in the line of duty in Kentucky. Suzanne Duvall reports.
Three names were added to the Kentucky Law Enforcement Memorial in Richmond. They were Versailles Police Officer George Freeman, Oldham County Police Officer Charles Howley, and Bell County Sheriff's Deputy Frank Bowman. Lieutenant Governor Janine Hampton spoke at the ceremony.
My prayer for each and every one of you is that your end of watch doesn't come until you're old and gray and you've bounced many a grandchild on your knee.
There are now 536 names on the memorial wall. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
It appears the Moorhead Fire Department's long-running quest to acquire a new ladder truck is finally over. City Council Monday night authorized officials to begin talking to lending agencies about a loan to help pay for a new 1.3 replacement for the aging ladder truck it currently has. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says Moorhead's firefighters badly need it.
They've taken care of this thing. This is 35 years old. Now, it doesn't look that old when you look at it. But some of the parts, just by nature, have become obsolete. Some of the different things that are starting to nickel and dime us now. And before too long, many of the major structural things will be obsolete as far as it means you can't replace them with original parts.
Trent says getting a new ladder truck is a key public safety issue for Moorhead's residents. He notes that Moorhead State and St. Clair Regional Medical Center are the only large-scale regional university and hospital that are fully protected by a volunteer fire department in Kentucky. Teenagers in one Greenup County town will have to find a new place to skate. According to WSAZ, the city of Russell passed an ordinance earlier this week banning skateboarding on all public roads and sidewalks, along with any property owned by the city. The decision disappoints Chase Bates, who says skating helps keep him in line with the law.
it's what we love to do. It keeps us out of trouble. I mean, it's unique. You don't see it a lot around here. So, I don't know. We do it pretty often. It's kept me out of trouble in the past, and it's hopefully it can in the future, as long as it don't keep getting banned in all these places.
Neighbors, though, say the activity is too dangerous. They argue that the skaters are too reckless on public roadways. The ordinance takes effect June 1st. With a tax increment financing district now located in the city's central business district, the executive director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated believes it's only a matter of time before big things happen in that part of town. Tony Pence admits he also remains firmly convinced that it won't be long before a boutique-style hotel, which would offer 80 to 100 rooms, will be built near the Moorhead Conference Center.
I'm pretty confident in it. You know, the studies we had done were very positive in reflecting that it was something that would work. And the TIF district, as people need to keep in mind, is a long-term mechanism, a 20-year mechanism, to create revenues back to a developer. So, you know, if we started today with construction, you know, we'd be 2 years away from having a building to walk into.
Pence says he and other local officials have already had conversations with a handful of developers interested in building a hotel in downtown Moorhead. Congress will consider a $4.1 trillion budget submitted by President Trump that addresses his campaign promises, but opponents are already crying foul. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would not offer a ringing endorsement of the plan. However, there was one aspect of the proposal he does favor.
What I do like about it is it clearly focuses on increasing defense spending, which we know is absolutely critical given the threats that we face.
The Republican held back further praise, saying the budget is only a recommendation. A Kentucky congressman says if the president's budget was a business, not even the Russians would invest. Haley Hansen reports.
Representative John Yarmuth says that President Trump's budget proposal helps millionaires at the expense of American families.
Yes, the president's budget is a betrayal, a line-by-line tally of broken promises he made to the American people.
Trump's $4.1 trillion spending plan proposes to eliminate the deficit in a decade. Yarmuth says if the president used similar budgeting techniques in his own business, quote, not even the Russians would invest in his projects. I'm Haley Hansen.
Voters in Johnson County took to the polls yesterday to decide the fate of a nickel tax. According to WYMT, residents elected to remove the tax by a margin of 273 votes. Just under 3,000 people turned out for the special election. Several residents, such as Todd Conley, petitioned to dump the tax, saying some of his neighbors simply can't afford it.
You know, I've seen somewhere where a $100,000 home, you'd be paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $50. But take that $50 and add interest to it on a mortgage and amortize it over 30 years, that's a lot of money.
The tax was implemented in 2014 with the hopes that it would pay for a new high school. Since then, Johnson County has collected around $800,000. Now that the tax has been repealed, the county must pay the money back. Governor Matt Bevin has appointed a councilperson for the city of Salyersville. The governor's office has announced in a press release that Michael Connolly will fill the vacancy. Connolly is a retired pipe fitter with Ashland Oil. He'll serve until the midterm election in 2018. Moorhead State University's president retires at the end of June, but he's not relaxing going into his final weeks on the job. Among other things, Dr. Wayne Andrews says he's busy raising money for the school's planned alumni center, helping to finalize MSU's budget for the 2017-18 fiscal year, working to assist his successor, Dr. Jay Morgan, as he prepares to take over the role and gradually removing his personal items from his office. Andrews says he's keeping his focus in a day-by-day mode.
That's really all you can do. I've never been a day counter, you know. People say, well, how many days you got left? I said, well, I don't know. I've got June 30th is my last day, whatever that is. So, I mean, I get up every day and come to work and try to do the very best that I can for the institution, which is what I'm paid to do.
Andrews became MSU's 13th president in 2005. Morgan takes over as the university's next chief executive officer on July 1st. With Eastern Kentucky's already critical shortage of medical professionals expected to only get worse in the coming years, the University of Kentucky's Rural Physician Leadership Program in Moorhead is reviewing a possible move that would help provide some relief for the situation. Dr. Tony Weaver is the program's assistant dean. According to Weaver, officials are now considering increasing its annual number of students.
We are right now taking 10 students, and we're looking at somewhere between 15 and 24. It really depends upon the clinical resources. You know, you've got to have the right number of patients, the right number of facilities to take care of your students. Notice we're not trying to achieve numbers above all else. But we believe that we have the capacity to double the size of the program.
Weaver thinks there could soon be between 15 and 24 students in the UK Physician Leadership Program in Moorhead. Instead of having the students in Lexington for the first 2 years of their studies, they would be in Moorhead for all 4 years. The Kentucky Lottery gets a new chief. Paul Miles reports.
Tom Delisensory has been appointed the new president and CEO of the Kentucky Lottery. He replaces Arch Gleason, who died last year after serving in the role for 23 years. Delisensory comes to Kentucky from Florida, where he was secretary and CEO of that state's lottery. He'll start his new job on June 5th. I'm Paul Miles.
Adults over the age of 19 wanting to further their education can receive free assistance from the Commonwealth Educational Opportunity Centers in the region. Tom Rowland is the director of the CEOC. He says 8 counselors for the CEOC help around 2,500 students each year.
We provide assistance with filing for financial aid, admissions assistance. If they don't have a GED, we help them get placed for that, and we can also do some financial assistance to do that. We can't pay the individual, but we can pay part of the fee for them to take a GED or the ACT.
The CEOC serves 36 counties in Kentucky, and you can find counselors on all of Moorhead State University's satellite campuses and at select KCTC campuses. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife will be conducting several public meetings across the region to gain some insight into the needs of the state's growing paddlecraft community. Tom Timmerman is the district fisheries biologist for the Northeast region. He says one of the main concerns they want to address is ensuring small paddlecraft users have adequate access points to smaller streams and waterways.
One thing that we see is, you know, more and more folks are kayaking on some of these smaller streams, and it's pretty expensive for us to put in a traditional ramp, but you know, if we can and there's a need for it, you know, we might be able to build some of these, you know, smaller canoeing or kayaking access points. But again, that what it all comes back to is, you know, where do you see a need, you know, if as a paddle crafter.
Canoeing, kayaking, and paddleboarding have seen exponential growth in popularity in recent years, and the DFW wants to make sure they are receiving the same attention that's given to traditional boaters. Meetings will be held June 5th in Moorhead, London, and Bowling Green. Meetings will be held in Louisville and Gilbertsville on June 6th. The Moorhead meeting is from 6 to 8 p.m. June 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a tornado watch in effect for the region until 8 p.m. tonight. Overnight, you can expect thunderstorms and lows around 55 degrees. The chance of rain is at 80%. Tomorrow, rain likely with highs near 61 degrees. The chance of rain tomorrow is near 100%. For Thursday night, more rain overnight and lows around 56 degrees. And on Friday, partly cloudy skies and highs around 80 degrees. Taking a look at area temperatures, it is currently 67 degrees in Ashland, 69 degrees in Flemingsburg, it's 65 degrees in Inez, 69 degrees in Winchester, in Lexington it's 69 degrees, and right here in Moorhead it is currently 70 degrees. The time is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian talks with Shomin Mia Oni, who came to the U.S. as a visiting scholar from her home in China. Shomin describes her family life in Nanning, how she came to Moorhead, and her love of language as a gateway to cultural understanding.
I was born in Guangxi province in the southern part of China in a subtropical area. We don't have snow and it's always evergreen the whole year. Nanning is the capital city of the province. It's a big city and very modern, high buildings, heavy traffic everywhere. And the population is around 6 million, which is larger than the population in the whole Kentucky. I have three sisters and one brother. People all heard about one-child policy in China, which was conducted in 1980s. So all my brothers, sisters, including me, we were born before that period. It was a pretty worry-free childhood. And I remember a lot of happy times sitting around the round table, having dinner with my parents and talk and giggle and laugh and share what happened that day. And my parents would tell jokes and stuff. You know, I have a very good childhood, although we didn't have much material stuff back at that time. My parents worked very hard. My father did different things to make a living, to support the whole family, and also sent three of us through all the higher education. Got my bachelor degree and master degree in Guilin. After I graduated to be a college teacher, I taught English as a second language. And actually, I taught for 14 years before I came to MSU in 2010. 1 year study as a visiting scholar. When I look back, I can say that year is my turning point in my life because I just fell in love with Morehead. The people were very nice and friendly and helpful to me. And I went to different churches and involved in local activities. It opened up a door in my life, especially when I became a Christian. And I began to think about the purpose of my life. I decided to apply to come back as a graduate student and went through 2 years study and got my master degree in higher and adult education. So I brought my daughter with me in 2011. I miss her so much when she was in China. And that was a big challenge for her. You can imagine as a 8-year-old child.
Speaking no English.
She understood some simple vocabulary, but not even a complete sentence. So she went to McGregor as a second grader. And we were so grateful that we have a very supportive faculty and staff there that help her to adjust to the environment. And she enjoyed study there, although she didn't quite understand what's going on most of the time. But step by step, she picked up some language. And by the end of the year, she was doing great. When she was in fourth grade, she won the school spelling bee, and I was so proud of her. And it's truly a blessing for her to be able to embrace two different cultures. In 2012, I married to my husband, Phil, from Bath County. But I think God put us together, and we are very happy. In China, I taught English, and here I teach Chinese. When we learn language, we always can learn the relative culture and customs. Morehead is a lovely place. I enjoy my life here, but I also miss my family in China and also authentic food. I have been involved in some local nonprofit organization. Now I'm a board member of Blessing Hand, the charity that helps the poor kids in the remote area in China. Blessing Hand already helped more than 1,000 students to get the education. I'm also a board member of Sister City. Morehead is the sister city of Yangshuo, China. I came from that area. I just want to say that I'm so grateful that I came to Morehead. This is a very open community that people would accept you and respect each other. You know, I have been a visiting scholar, so I know how I felt in a foreign country without any family or friends around, and it's totally new. So I always have been trying to help those Chinese visiting scholars and students, and I think there's a purpose for me to being here.
I really appreciate you coming in here and talking with me today. It's great.
You're welcome. My pleasure. We all live in the same global village. We all have different kind of needs. We need love, we need family, we need friends, we need understanding.
That is Morehead resident Shomin Miaoni on our regular Wednesday series, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Culturally Diverse Appalachian Community. Braxton Howard has sports after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State baseball team begins action in the OVC tournament tonight down in Oxford, Alabama. 34-21 MSU will face Austin Peay at 8 o'clock. Coach Mike McGuire says it's time for his Eagles to get down to business.
I like where we're at, that's why we do it. It's playing for a chance to go to a regional, and that's what we want to do.
Meanwhile, five baseball Eagles were named to the All-OVC team yesterday, led by the league's co-player of the year, sophomore outfielder Nico Hosizer. MSU had three players on the first team. Third baseman Eli Bogus and pitcher Aaron Lasher also made the list. Outfielder Will Schneider and shortstop Reed Leonard were second teamers. Pitcher Jake Ziegelmeyer made the all-freshman squad. The 16th region's final district baseball title will be at stakes tonight when Boyd County hosts Ashland Blazer. Blazer coach Johnny LeMaster's 22-12 Tomcats split two regular season games with Boyd, and he says they'll be facing a very good Lions team.
They're probably, since Greenham got beat, are probably the favorite to win the region as things would go. But we just got to play Ashland Tomcat baseball and throw strikes and make routine plays and hit the baseball. If we do that, then we're in good shape.
In last night's district action, Round County, West Carter, and Russell all claimed titles. The in-state battle between the Reds and Indians shifts to Cleveland tonight for Game 3 of the series, with the series tied at one game apiece. The Reds fell last night 8-7 to the Tribe. Rookie pitcher Amir Garrett went just five innings in the game, giving up seven earned runs on seven hits. Manager Brian Price says his young pitcher is just working through some growing pains.
It's pitch quality. It's when he's been really good, it's three pitches for strikes, both sides of the plate, and working ahead with more frequency as far as the quality in the zone. And when he wanted to expand the zone, wasn't as good as it's been, and that's the young pitcher kind of learning the ropes up here and learning how to manage his stuff.
First pitch tonight is set for 6:10 at Progressive Field. Some scores from around the major leagues today. Minnesota beat Baltimore 4-3. Toronto beat Milwaukee 8-4. Oakland leads Miami 2-1 in the fourth inning. And the White Sox lead the Diamondbacks 2-1 in the fourth inning as well. In the NBA, the Miami Heat, Chris Bosh, and the Players Association have agreed to a resolution that would allow all parties to move on, according to ESPN. Bosh hasn't played since February of 2016 because of blood clot issues. He has remained on the Heat's roster, however, as the sides have worked through complex medical and legal issues. Bosh is guaranteed $52 million over the next two seasons, though a significant portion of that will be covered by insurance. But he has remained on the Heat's salary cap, limiting their ability to replace him. This agreement is expected to remove Bosh from the cap. Some college basketball notes. Still no announcement from Kentucky redshirt freshman Hamidou Diallo on whether or not he'll be returning to the Wildcats next season or staying in the NBA draft. Diallo and all undecided underclassmen must make a decision by tonight's 11:59 deadline. 7'6" big man Taco Fall has withdrawn from the draft and will return to Central Florida next season. Xavier star forward Trayvon Blewett announced that he's withdrawing his name from the draft and will return to the Musketeers for his senior season. North Carolina State 7-footer Omar Yurtseven is returning to the Pack for his sophomore year. Also, the University of Kentucky has announced that they will play Virginia Tech in Rupp Arena on December the 16th next season. The Moorhead State women's basketball team has made another roster addition. Coach Greg Todd has announced that 5'10" junior point guard Crystal Simmons is transferring to MSU from St. John's.
Was their best defensive player, and at that length, and her athleticism is very, very good. And her offense, I think she had a little harder time fitting in with their style. But I feel like with us, she's going to do very well because of her length. I think in the Ohio Valley, she will be very tough to stop inside.
Simmons played in 97 games at St. John's. Last season, she averaged 2.5 points and 2 rebounds a game. Simmons will have 1 year to play at MSU. She won't become eligible until the 2018-19 season. After holding OTAs the last couple of days, the Cincinnati Bengals are taking today off before wrapping up the first round of those workouts tomorrow up in the Queen City. The spring drills have been especially important for third-year pro Cedric Obuehi, who's moving from right tackle to left tackle.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think every day I'm getting better. I'm learning some every day, slowing down, and just I'm getting as much reps as possible. That's good.
After tomorrow's workouts, the Bengals will continue their OTAs next week. Finally in sports, the Morehead State Volleyball team's 2017 schedule has been released. MSPR's Sean Delaney reports.
MSU's 29-match regular season slate starts on August 25th when it entertains Delaware State in first-round play of the Eagle Challenge. It will also face Youngstown State and Winthrop as part of that event. All in all, the Eagles will have 15 home matches next fall. They'll begin OVC play on September 22nd in Nashville against Belmont. The regular season will end on November 11th at home against Austin Peay. The Morehead women finished last season at 11-20 overall, 7-9 in the OVC. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
That's sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as investors cheered the Federal Reserve's plan for scaling back its massive $4.5 trillion balance sheet. And the S&P 500 actually set an all-time closing high today. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a strong gain of 74.51 at 21,012.42. The S&P 500 was up 5.97 to finish at a record closing high of 2,404.39. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 24.31 at 6,163.02. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 4-3 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The central bank does see a system where they will announce cap limits on how much they will allow to roll off each month from their balance sheet without reinvesting. And overall, the financial community thought this was a positive as it gives the Fed flexibility and will not be adhering to any fixed schedule in terms of rolling off their balance sheet. Treasury yields fell after the minutes release, with the benchmark 10-year note yield falling to just under 2.26% and the 2-year yield slipped to 1.28%. In other economic news, total mortgage application volume increased 4.4% last week on a seasonally adjusted basis from the previous week, thanks largely to refinancings. Existing home sales slipped 2.3% in April, which was more than expected. Overseas European stocks traded marginally higher, while in Asia, equity markets closed mostly higher despite Moody's downgrading China's credit rating for the first time since 1989. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.3% to finish at $51.31 a barrel. Gold was up 0.14% at $1,257.30 an ounce. And among Dow stocks today, your best performers were Goldman Sachs and Coca-Cola, and the worst performers were GE and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Intuit and NRG Energy, and the worst performers were Tiffany and Signet Jewelers. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.67 at $66.33, CSX up 53 cents at $52.33, AEP up 60 cents at $70.19, AK Steel down 17 cents at $5.86, Marathon Petroleum up 5 cents at $53.13, and Valvoline was down 16 cents to finish at $22.27. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rouen and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking a final look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area, there is a tornado watch in effect. That is a tornado watch in effect for the region until 8 p.m. tonight. Thunderstorms and lows around 55 degrees tonight. The chance of rain is at 80%. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles, Suzanne Duvall, and Haley Hansen. Our feature this afternoon came from Adrian Swain with Neighbors. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.